Well, hey everybody, this is We Watch Stuff 146. I'm Jeremy. Joining me as always is Shahid. What is going on, man?
Nothing much, just enjoying my 2 days off during the week and relaxing, catching up on shows and just chilling.
Yeah, and for those listening, this is 147 actually, so whatever. Well, it's good. I am counting down the days till if I don't have to actually work my real job for a while, and people don't want to cooperate with that. I think it's very rude, as I said before. So, everyone knows, if you work in a corporate environment, that if you go on vacation, the week before your vacation is long enough as it is. So, starting Wednesday, you're in countdown mode. And if you haven't learned that yet, I don't know what's wrong with you. So, I don't know where we want to start. We got kind of a hodgepodge show this time. We blew our wad on Ant-Man and Rampage and a skyscraper movie I haven't seen yet last show. I did mention last time I finally finished Jessica Jones. Like I said before we started, man, I don't really have a whole lot to say other than I didn't like this season at all. I didn't get the point of it, and the way it ended, it just seemed like that was just set up for next season. Like, the whole season was just to be like, alright, here's next season.
I think it was more kind of like a study about her. It was more like inward and the relationships like different people have with pain and addiction and stuff. Because it's funny, out of three storylines, hers was kind of the hardest to get into. Because it's kind of like they didn't have like a true, like, not they didn't have a true antagonist. They just had a different type of antagonist where it's one of those things with Jessica Jones where it means more if you're a woman. Like, stuff would probably resonate more. And if you're not, then it's only going to affect you. Not to say it can affect you. It's only going to affect you so much. Otherwise, it may be things that's just missing. And I think that's what probably affected a lot of people kind of this season. Because you didn't have the whole Kilgrave thing where it's like, it's easy to see him as a villain. His, you know, his performance was kind of like easy to kind of digest. Like, this is who he is. This is what he does. It's easy to hate him. And this one is kind of like, you know, you got this mother character that you never knew about, never heard about, and now all of a sudden you need to care about. And then all the stuff going on with her and Jessica, you know, I know my mom's a bad person, but she's still my mom. Can we do these bad things even though I know I shouldn't, because I deep down I hate myself and yada, yada, yada. I'm still dealing with all the trauma from season one. My best friend is going through her stuff with her whole drug addiction and everything like that. My old lawyer is going through her stuff trying to live and then getting conned and everything. So it's just, it was kind of like a depressing season, actually, when you look back at, like, thinking about, I hadn't watched in a while because I watched it when it first came on, and that was like a long time ago. So just thinking about it now, it's kind of like, yeah, it was kind of a depressing season when you kind of do a recap of it.
Yeah, see, we started at the same time you did, except I couldn't take it. I'm like, that first episode, and I remember asking you, this gets better, right? You're like, yeah, give it a few. I'm like, all right. Gave it a few, and I'm like, this isn't getting any better. And I think the problem is I don't care about Trish at all. I was confused by the beginning when she was like the pop star. I had forgotten all about that. And then the idea that, and I guess because I don't listen to radio, but the idea that, like, Trish is this megastar based off of being a radio show host, I mean, does that sort of thing still exist?
Yeah.
Because it's Rush. I mean, I'm the only one that's how far out of it I am. Like, Howard Stern's barely on, and he's on satellite, but he was also mega famous
still
before.
Yeah, I mean, he's still rich. It's kind of like Rush Limbaugh was rich enough to spend nine figures in settlements for sexual harassment. So, like, yeah, it's kind of like, it's not necessarily our demographic, because it's not, like, if you don't, you're not into it. But, yeah, like, it still is kind of like something where people think about, do people still buy CDs? And it's like, yeah, Adele, they do. Like, if you're big enough, people will still buy, you know, your CDs and stuff. It's kind of like, if it's not your thing, you may not be able to wrap your head around it, because it's not this whole quote-unquote universal thing. So that part didn't really get me. It's just kind of, the whole thing is just,
well, when they introduced her boyfriend and then fiance guy, whatever. And he was like a TV guy. That resonated more. Because the TV guys, to me, have taken over for what radio guys used to be. Because they're way, I don't know, well, I guess they're equally as accessible. Because you can watch TV on your phone.
I mean, you can listen to radio in your car. And most people probably listen to podcasts and radio stuff in their car anyway. So you think about, and like the average commute is an hour for a lot of people, like each way. Yuck. So, yeah. Yeah, I know. Like, I'm lucky. Like, mine is 20 minutes. So, mine's but 10. some people's like an hour and change each way. But no, it's just where I think hers just came out of, like, it was just all over the place where she was just dealing with all this stuff. And then she's roping in Malcolm, and I'm like, poor Malcolm. He's just getting dicked around by everybody in his circle.
Yeah.
And I was happy when he finally just got away from all of it. Yeah. It's like, I'm going to do my own thing because all my friends are toxic.
And that was like, that was the other thing. I didn't feel sorry for Trish at all. And I know that the addiction was to, I don't know, did they even name what it was?
It was the stuff that What's-His-Face was using. Yeah. He was using in season one. And I think
what it was called.
Yeah. And I don't remember if it had a name either. And it's funny where that came from. Jessica was special. She wanted to be special.
Yeah.
That was her way of being special. Like, it's a human thing, so it's understandable, but it's hard to be sympathetic. It's like, you rich and famous. That's not enough. Like, Jessica doesn't even want... It's like, it's funny where... It's hilarious that she's jealous of something that Jessica doesn't even really want or respect that much.
And now apparently she's gonna, I guess she can become Hellcat. Because isn't that her name in the comics?
Mm-hmm.
Because she drops her phone and caught it with her foot. Because no one's ever done that before.
I mean, it is kind of hard to do.
Yes, it is hard to do, but we've all done it.
When was the last time you've done it, CrossFit Man?
I actually have caught my phone with my foot before.
You've caught your phone with your foot.
Yeah, when you drop and kick out real fast, yeah, you can do that. My reflexes are top notch. I should be called Hellcat. How's that?
And it
copyright.
And it
just
landed on your foot and didn't hit the ground, anything like that. Yeah, that's
It was luck. Believe me, it was luck. I don't think I could ever do it again. In fact, I've probably kicked it, drop it and try and do the same thing. But yeah, I don't know. It just. The whole Trish, you know what? Maybe this is the problem. I didn't give two shits about the Trish arc the entire time. She didn't listen the whole time. All she wants to do is help Jessica. I have to get to the bottom of this. And I'm going, is this the ramblings of a drug addict? Or is this just a self-centered bitch? And I still didn't get an answer. And then the implausible idea that she found Jessica and her mom and then shot her mom in the head from long range on a Ferris wheel. Elise and I just turned and looked at each other and went, this is stupid.
Wait, out of all the stuff we see in comic shows, that's the one that's kind of like...
Well, when they're trying to make this grim and gritty, like, not grim and gritty, but like down to earth and reality based on this, I'm going, what?
I mean, it's... Just because it's kind of like people cursing, you see doggy style sex, it's still a comic show. Like,
yeah.
I mean, you can get greedy to a certain extent, but it's like the whole thing, Malcolm hits up that stuff that Trish doesn't say what it is. He freaks out.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see him, then he comes back and they never bring it up again. Besides this whole thing, like, I don't know what you gave me, you shouldn't have gave it to me. And then that's it. I'd be wondering a bit more. It's kind of like I'm dealing with all this relapse stuff. Not even counting all the Kilgrave stuff.
Yeah.
And then and you're my best friend. I got emotional feelings. You already know I'm dealing with this stuff anyway. And then you just hand me some super drug that you don't know what's in it. And then it's kind of like, and you think that's cool? It's like, yeah, like Trish was trash.
Yeah.
And they didn't hide. They kind of like didn't hide that fact. Like most of the people on there was trash.
I think that's something else I was going to bring up is, was it Malcolm and I can't remember the superintendent or the super's name. They were the only likable people on the show. Like Carrie Ann's Moss arc, one, I don't know why that was in the show. It served no purpose.
One, you got Carrie Ann Moss, you got to do something with her
because
it's Carrie Ann Moss, and then two, it's kind of like give her something to do and show her that she's more than just like some ice queen. Because, you know, season one, she's just like, I'm this badass rich lesbian that does what I want, and it bit me in the ass, so I'm still going to be a badass. Like, you didn't know, you knew what she was. You didn't really know anything about her, like her partners and all this stuff. And then this one's kind of like starting off where it's like, what, sexual harassment? They trying to get out the paint for sexual harassment?
Is that what it was?
It was kind of like they were alluding to that.
Because that like, got kinda, and then pops yeah. up in the last episode.
They kind of said it without saying it because it's kind of like, it's almost where you want to avoid that kind of trope. Like, you know, every lesbian's like a panty hunter and da 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 da. And it's like, that's kind of old and trite. But then at the same time, it's like these corporate rich people do that crap all the time. So it's like, if it's good for the man, it's good for the woman. It's just a whole weird thing where it's kind of like they wanted to have the cake, but not smash you in the face with it. And then it was more like a health thing where it's like she has this debilitating disease. And I think what they wanted to show, like, she's always on top of things. I'm super cynical. I'm super skeptical. You can't pull a fast one on me. And then she lets her guard down once, gets conned. And then I'll say this. When she got her payback, she got her damn payback. Like, that was some House of Cards shit right there. And that part I actually liked because it kind of like she basically knocked them both off. And, you know, none of it will get back to her at all.
Yeah, but at the same time, it made me go, yeah, she's still a terrible person.
Yeah, I mean, they...
So they
yeah,
stole but, your shit. Oh, well. I mean, I know the emotional, just, I know the emotional part of it, too, but when it comes down to it, they didn't hurt you. I mean, they hurt you emotionally.
I mean, but, you thinking that you're cured from this disease that's going to kill you?
Yeah.
I don't even think it was the funny thing. It's like, imagine if you had, like, Lou Gehrig's disease and somebody said, you know, oh, you cure from it, and then you find out, oh, you got, like, not only did you get money, you actually still got the disease. Like, she still has the disease. I think it's more the whole giving a false hope when you accepted yeah. that you had this and then wasting time thinking everything's cool, more than like the money wasn't a big deal to her. Yeah. I think it was the betrayal of trust and like your life at stake. So
she has the guy killed and then the other girl goes to jail. Well, I mean, I guess he did say this is what rich people do. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, her triumph over her partners, I'm like, no. your partners kind of suck, too, but you're no better. So,
look, we're
like Mike Pence trained, or Donald Trump.
My mind is kind of like, we can't really get on this high horse when we all watch Breaking Bad and rooted for Walter White to win.
That's another show I still have not watched. And, whoa,
yeah, it's like we've been rooting for the bad guys since the Shield came
yeah,
out.
Yes,
and it's like you can't. It's funny, like you can't have it both ways. Like you root for these bad people to win, and accepting the fact that you know, like you get mad at the wives because they're preventing people from having their fun, and their fun is like drug dealing and murder. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh well, do we really want them to win? Like they're the bad. I'm like, yeah, but there are bad guys.
Yeah, and even like watching The Shield, like him getting away with it, you didn't feel good about it. To go back to a show that's, I think, 10 years old now, mm-hmm. which is crazy, or older, probably.
Yeah.
But it's like, he gets away, and you're going, and especially the hardest one was Shane. Was it Shane? Mm-hmm. No, who was the guy that had the beard? That was Shane. No. Ronnie?
Oh, Ronnie, yeah.
And he no, that just... Was, yeah, he just gets arrested, and he's freaking out. And Vic's just whatever. It's like it really was yeah. like the whole time you're rooting for this hunk of garbage, but because he has a kid and two kids and an ex-wife, that it's okay. Like no,
and one of the kids has mental issues.
Yeah. Well, at least we know what gene they got that from. So
no, it's funny. It's funny you bring that up because I didn't watch it when it came on, and I like watched it recently, and it's kind of like. Yeah, it's like you didn't want him to get caught, but you wouldn't feel bad if he did, because it's like, the only, you know what they were smart with? Like, he was a dirtbag, but he was around people that was worse.
Yeah.
Like, him running around with Shane all the time is like, okay, I can only hate him so much because Shane's horrible, the captain's horrible, and it's like, you know, like, CCH Pounder was like the only, like, decent one.
Yes.
there the whole time. It's like they made her out to be like the nag. Like, you know, she's just trying to stop their fun. She's trying to ruin their fun and all of this stuff. It's like, no, she's trying to do her job.
Mm-hmm. It's just even watching it, you're seeing her and you're going, I don't know why you deal with this stuff. And I guess it's part of the political machinations of a precinct like that. But I'd be like, I'm out of here. I mean, if they don't kill them, they don't get me. Yeah. Well, I just meant try and get out. But I don't know what that requires.
Nah, so. It's like the main thing is like with a lot of jobs, you get those type of jobs. Like you're not in it for just the job. You're in it for after the job.
Yeah,
because you're trying to get to like retirement, and that was the big thing over them. Like, you know, I can't mess up my pension, I can't mess up my retirement, and that's the thing for a lot of people. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I'm gonna deal with this crap because I want to be able to function when I don't have to deal with this. Not too old to do anything else. Like, you won't be 55 years old and no future.
Yeah. Oh, so just on a quick aside, so you mentioned that. So Elise and I were talking about like financial planning, whatever else for like later in life, and. I was like, yeah, I told her how much I was putting my 401k every check. And she looks at me and goes, what? I'm like, yeah. And she goes, why are you putting that much in? I go, because I got it set for 50. And then I realized it was actually 55. But I was like, I got this thing set for 50 years old. I ain't long for this working life, so we'll see how that goes. But yeah. And I still end up paying on taxes somehow.
Yeah, I mean, people don't think of that. It's like, you know, you really want to be working till you 80? Mm.
That's like, that's when those 401ks and that crashed out. That was some of the worst things.
I have colleagues like that now, and they're like, they were going to retire, and their 401ks, like it was not even 401ks. It was kind of like they invested in stuff that was supposed to be smart investments, and it went completely out the door. That's why I take no chances. Like, my 401k is government back. So if something happened to that means like aliens came.
Yeah, our money doesn't matter anyways. Like,
yeah, it's like, you know, like that Russia thing was bigger than we thought it was. Like, you know, we're fighting zombies or something. So, and if that happens, then it doesn't make a difference anyway.
Yeah.
But no, people don't think long. Like, it's shows like that is funny where they had you think about long term stuff, or at least pretended to make you think about long term stuff. Because most of the time it's like, I'm the here and now thing. Like Jessica Jones, she's just trying to get, her whole thing is, I'm just trying to get through a day at a time. I hate my own guts. I'm still wearing these ratty ass jeans. Like, I want to help people, but not really because I feel guilty about it. And then like her and the Supers family is like, you know, how would things be if I kind of live normal? And it says a lot that the end of the season is like she's actually there at the dinner table eating, not just like, you know, I'm somewhere hitting a bottle of whiskey, just like that's growth for her.
And you know, I was going to say, I like that quite a bit, actually.
Yeah.
Well, I was.
Because you need it. Cause,
yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I mean, because like you need it because like it gets old. She's just doing the same old thing. Like, you can have other people evolve, but it doesn't matter if the main character doesn't. Like, that's the 70s and 80s stuff. You can't do that now. People expect more.
Yeah. And that's why when she left, I'm going, she better be going downstairs. Or upstairs, actually. He lived upstairs, right? Somewhat doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But, so when she went to the door, I was like, all right, good. And, you know, Malcolm's off doing his thing, which I think he's a double agent, if you will. I get the inclination he's going to be spying on some people for, what is Carrie Ann Moss's character's name?
Jerry
Hoggart? Yeah.
Hogarth, yeah.
Yes, and I did like the fact that when she got half the clients, she did mention, she wants half the clients and the, Rand case, or Rand or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was told Lisa, I was like, oh, that's Iron Fist. She goes, oh, okay, because she didn't watch Iron Fist. So like that little subtle stuff, but yeah, her going down there and trying to see it through be good. And the thing is, they can also, if they want to, they can write those characters out pretty easy, so they're not stuck with them at least. Which I know is kind of a harsh way of putting it, but if they want to change it up or whatever else, but I would hope not. But I also think from like the comics point of view, she's married to Luke Cage now. And I'm wondering, I mean, I have only one episode in on Luke Cage, so I can't speak.
Okay, I won't. I won't comment either, because it's kind of like I've actually finished Luke Cage, so I'm hearing where you're going, and I'll just say without spoiling it, like, you know, you might be on to something. Okay. Is all I'll say.
Okay, well, I'm happy about that, I guess. They shouldn't be beholden to the comics. I'll say that right now. But that's, oh gosh, I don't know. Maybe that's me. But it's like, her identity is kind of connected to him now.
Yeah. I'll just say this. How Luke Cage starts and how it ends, he's in a completely different spot.
Okay.
And I'll leave it at that. And I'll also say that one of the best episodes, and I was shocked when I saw it, and I was shocked that I believed it. A lot of people believe it, was the one that Iron Fist is in.
Okay. I've heard nothing but good things about that one. So
yeah, like, I'm watching that, like, without going to, I'm watching the episode. I was like, wow. imagine if it was like this from the beginning. Like, it was one, because it wasn't a whole low expectation thing. It was just like good period. And I was like, and it was just natural. And I was like, wow. I was just thinking the whole time, like, you know, I'm enjoying this way more than I thought. And then I went online and I heard, you know, I was just curious, this, you know, searched around, and it was like a lot of people saying, I'm like, oh, I'm glad it wasn't just me thinking that. So
okay, what episode is that, 4?
No, it's like 10 or 11.
Oh wow, so that's till the end. Okay.
Yeah.
All
right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All
right. Well, it's funny, whenever you mention Iron Fist to somebody, people still have not forgotten that show. Which, good or bad, people have not forgotten that show, but I've never run into someone that said, no, it was pretty good. That's still...
Now, those are people who like that and think Luke Cage was trash. So I tend not to talk to those people. I'll say this, though. Like, his character improved in Defenders, and his character improved a lot more on this one. So it's kind of like, I guess they listened to the criticism. Like, to be fair, he probably got more chance to, like, you know, work out.
Well, that
and, like, and that's train.
Yeah, when we discussed Iron Fist, we were both talking about how they were, you told me, and then I found out, read it later, that they were choreographing scenes right before they shot them.
Mm-hmm.
You can't do that.
No.
With a martial arts or show,
only,
whatever.
Only, like, Bruce Lee could do that, but Bruce Lee's Bruce Lee, not some guy that doesn't even know how to fight, and it's like, okay, you're going to do this kick and do this and everything like that. Because it's like, I always laugh. And people was wondering, like, well, was the fight scenes that bad? Like, it wasn't just the fight scenes bad. It's kind of like, Iron Fist is supposed to be, like, one of the best fighters in the Marvel Universe, and he's struggling with security. Like, imagine Batman losing a fist fight to a cop.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Like, think about how ridiculous that would sound. And, like, okay, that's basically the whole level of Iron Fist. Like, he's struggling with people he shouldn't be struggling with. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to, like, you can't say, you know, this man killed a dragon? And he can't beat, like, a part-time security guard. Like, it doesn't compute.
Yeah.
And you can only suspend disbelief in comic shows as long as they stick with their whole, you know. If you give me a whole, you give me a set of rules and you follow a set of rules, I can't go with everything else. But if you don't follow your own set of rules, then it's kind of like you're doomed from the start.
Yeah. Yeah. And there is a second season of that coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of people watch that. Yeah, a lot of people actually watched it, and it's like, you know, it's funny where that and Luke Cage, like, I remember so many people watching Luke Cage. Netflix had issues, like, streaming, like, the first night it was on, and then you heard all of these, like, Luke Cage got a lot of talk, positive with some negative, like, the whole, I thought it was the first show where the white people were at crap. And I remember we did a show about that. We were just laughing at that. And Iron Fist got a lot of, like, scrutiny too. Like, you know, people thinking it was horrible, people thinking it wasn't that bad. The backlash against the backlash. People complaining about, you know, same old stereotypes. Like, for whatever reason, it got a lot of attention. Some positive, a whole lot of negative. But it's Netflix. It's the whole thing. Is like, they've ever had something like that in a show that no one watches.
Yeah.
And no one talks about.
Yeah. Speaking of no one talking about, to move along, Aquaman, well, San Diego Comic-Con starts, I believe, what, next Friday? 9 days from now, so the 20th. 7-Eleven, we're recording this. But San Diego Comic-Con, we're finally going to get Aquaman. We're finally going to get Shazam, I guess, which I don't think anyone's been, like, you know, really bearing down for a Shazam preview. But then, I don't know who released these. Whoever's doing the DC movie, the Aquaman movie figures, they put out images of it, and I actually found one. So I guess they can get them all down. And he's actually sporting his comics look. Minus the short blonde hair, of course. Which, let me see if I can. I can't get this to you. I'm on the wrong computer. Oh well. But he looks. It looks like the comics. The bright orange, yellowish orange, green gloves, green boots, all that stuff. Mirror looks like the comics. Black Manta looks like the comics. The colors are vibrant. And you can just Google it, guys. And from everything we've heard about Aquaman, this is supposed to be a big departure. So now this makes me want to see this preview even more, which is kind of weird to be that hyped up over an Aquaman preview.
Mm-hmm. I mean, all it takes for you is just, all it takes is a nice action figure and you're all in. Some things never change.
Well, I wanted to see this to begin with, but now if... We talked about this. DC's got to do something different. Because the vision they're presenting, people are not driving with. Except for Wonder Woman, which was a... I'd say a medium departure from... maybe a medium well departure from, like, Zack Snyder and his stuff. And I forgot who made Suicide Squad all of a sudden.
What, the director?
Yeah.
Oh, David Ayer.
All right, thanks. So, I mean, I know DC's, they'll probably catch flack for it, for, you know, brightening up, but they kind of had to, because it's time to embrace what you are. So, especially when you see your competition, and yeah, their competition, making billions of dollars on movie after movie. So, especially when you blow your wad and you didn't even make $1 billion worldwide on Justice League. That was the big one.
A billion?
Yeah.
It did Ant-Man numbers. Like, that's... You're being very... Like I said, you're giving it a lot of leeway. Like, if they had got close to a billion, they'd have been happy. Matter of fact, let me look how much they made.
Well, they made $657.9 million.
Over, with a $300 million budget.
And that was in the U.S.,
No, that was worldwide.
What's USD mean?
That's U.S. standard dollars, but 657 is what they made total, not
domestic. Okay. Holy shit. I mean, when Batman Superman made 872, so that did way better than people said.
Yeah, it's just, no, this is, no, the issue with that one was kind of like, it wasn't the money, I mean, it was partly the money thing. It wasn't... Justice League was the first one where the money box office was the issue. Because Batman vs. Superman made money. And Suicide Squad did well. Like, and this kind of whole thing is like this whole... Wow, you can make a... You don't have to make a good movie to make money. But it's that kind of like... It's a flip side of that. Eventually it comes back to bite you in the ass. Because it's like Wonder Woman had to overcome all of that stigma to make the money it made, because people was thinking, oh well, you know, 0-2, no one thought Wonder Woman was gonna make money, and then they made money, and then Justice League dealt with the whole thing where it's a better movie than Suicide Squad, Batman versus Superman, and but it didn't matter by that point, because it was like no one, it had too much noise around it with the movie itself and too much DC noise for it to work. So that's the thing now, like with Aquaman coming in, it's the difference between Marvel and DC is like you expect at the very least a Marvel movie is a good movie. At this point, like the worst, like it's gonna be a decent, a good movie. DC is like you just assuming the worst, and it's like they gotta prove stuff to you. So mm-hmm. You gotta always get over that skepticism, and that's tough to do. Like imagine every Marvel movie is like, oh, I don't know about this one. Like, you know, it might be good, it might be not. Like Marvel thing is like, I assume it's going to be good. I just don't know how good it's going to be.
Yeah, especially what the last movie to get that for Marvel was what, Ant-Man the original?
Mm-hmm. Because it was just, I think Ant-Man and to a certain extent, no, I want to say the last. It's funny with the Marvel movies, like it's had a different type of thing. Because like Ant-Man, they weren't sure about whether it's gonna be good. Doctor Strange was just this whole. Does anyone even want to see this? Because that was like the first weird Marvel movie, like. And it was like, you know, you got a character that a lot of people didn't know about that came from a weird era of Marvel, and it's like, oh, okay, so it's just Iron Man, but he's a doctor. And then, you know, other stuff, it's like Black Panther, people assume it's going to be good, they didn't know how good it was going to be. Infinity War, it was going to be, will it be too big to deal with all that stuff, because like the last Avengers movie was kind of messy. The other stuff was just a surprise. Like, you know, I don't think anyone expected Thor to be as good as it was. And Spider-Man had to deal with the whole, not that it's going to be a bad movie, it's just the third time we're doing Spider-Man in a short time frame are people getting sick of Spider-Man. Yeah. But that's, I'd rather deal with stuff like that than it's like, is this movie going to be good? Mm-hmm. Like DC has to deal with. It's kind of like, you know, well, Aquaman, is it going to be any good? Like, and it doesn't help where DC's thing is coming out saying, we're changing our strategy. We just want to focus on making good movies now.
That's still one of the funnier lines.
Gee, imagine if a car company said that. Like, yeah, we were just, you know, we're going to fix our cars so they actually work well. And you know what's funny? We laugh at that. That's basically what Domino's did, and it worked.
Yes.
Domino's came like and said, they'd say like, look, guys, we know our pizza's been sucking for a while, so we're going to go back to the drawing board, and we're going to focus on making food that tastes good, and just give us a chance. And it's funny when you laugh, like, it's funny when someone actually said that, like, because shouldn't that be the point of doing it? But kudos to them for the hardest thing is realizing when something's wrong and having the humility to fix it. And they fixed it, and Marvel fixed theirs, and I would say I hope DC would fix that, but then you see the news about they finalized talks for this movie that we can't believe they're actually doing. So it's kind of like, you know, yeah, I see you, you know, you're taking care of yourself because you got dental insurance and you're going to the eye doctor, but then the guy saw you ate 40 chicken wings. So are you really taking care of your health or not? That's Warner Brothers in a nutshell when it comes to DC Universe.
And for what Shahid's referring to, is it is a go for the Joker origin movie starring Joaquin Phoenix, which doesn't even take place in the regular universe.
A gritty, low-budget affair. A dark adult movie is how they describe it. Like, the budget's $55 million, which is, that's less than Deadpool 1. It's like a Michael Douglas. That's like a Michael Douglas '90s budget right there. Like, I'm tired of talking about it because, like, we've talked about it too many times. People already know how we feel. I'm still shocked that it's being made, and but it's like it's a world where we're getting a Venom movie. So it's and like, you know, we're getting a Spawn movie with Jamie Foxx and Jeremy Renner, directed by Todd McFarlane. And it's like Spawn is basically going to be treated like Jaws. So I don't know. Be careful. I always say, be careful what you wish for, because there was a lot of nerds like, man, I wish to get the chance where we get to run the show and get all these type of movies and do what we want and TV shows. And now you got it. Are you happy now, nerds? Like, you got what you wanted. Look at you, like, you know. Being able to eat cake every day sounds real nice when you're 9, but when you're 39, you realize it's not the smartest idea.
Yep. And speaking of nerds getting what they want, the casting news came out that Billy Dee Williams is finally coming back to Star Wars. He's going to be in episode 9?
Yes. Yeah,
episode 9. So there you go. I don't know what... I mean, listen, we all get old. Billy Dee's old.
Yes.
So what can... And he looks old, too. I mean, I'm not...
Yeah.
Just like Carrie Fisher looked old, so does Billy Dee Williams. So, for the guy that's supposed to be suave and smooth and all this, mean, you know.
I mean, he was. Look at it this way. He wasn't necessarily young when Star Wars came out.
Yeah.
Like, he's 81. Like, you know who else is in their 80s? James Earl Jones. Like, Morgan Freeman. Those people, like, people that were old when we were young. So it's kind of like, and it's like, yeah, oh, I don't remember Billy Dee Williams looked like that. It's like, yeah, because you were like three. So somebody that was in like their 30s or 40s might look like they like 21. Like, it wasn't like he was like 16 years old. So, and I'm sure it's going to throw a lot of people off. Oh, they got, oh, they're just going to have Billy Dee Williams there to die. I'm like, he's old. He's not going to be running around on the Falcon. He's in his 80s. Like,
but I'm
a
with
reason
those people, though. I don't want them to introduce him again just to kill him off. It's like, enough.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be, we have to be realistic at this point. It's kind of like, okay, if he doesn't die, that's fine. But it's not like he's going to be popping up in a whole bunch of these movies. And as you see with some of these actors this age, they might pass away anyway, regardless of what you do. And to be perfectly honest, it says a lot about Star Wars, where a lot of the people, like Harrison Ford, is like, yeah, I'll do it if you kill me off because I'm sick of this.
Well, like, that, a lot of people, these pocketbooks are burning up.
I mean, once you hit that age, like, money is like, if I got enough to take care of myself, it's not like you're going to start a new business. like Billy Dee Williams, like, he, because I know he did the voice of Lando on a Rebels cartoon show.
Oh, yeah, forever.
So, yeah, like, and I mean, like, it'd be fun for him to do it. I know he probably wanted to do it. Beyond that, it's like, what they do with him is fine. What they don't want him is fine. I'm kind of on a certain feel with Star Wars in general. Like, not even the movie itself. Like, I'm looking forward to the movies. I just can't stand the noise surrounding it from these damn toxic-ass fans. Like, it's driving me crazy, and it's making me not like the movies. And they shouldn't have that much power, but it's like, shut up. Like, seriously. Like, if I hear one more person complain about The Last Jedi or talk about, we're going to start a GoFundMe to try to convince Disney to refilm it our way and take all the women out. I like, sure, if you can get $300 million and convince Kathleen Kennedy to redo it and somehow she says yes, I would love to see that documentary. By all means, go for it. Otherwise, shut the hell up and just go back in your damn closet with your lightsabers. Like, it's why Star Wars, it's not even all of them, and it's not even most of them. But it's a large loudmouth subsection. Why are they so obnoxious?
Star Wars fans have always been weird. It's just now we've actually got, like, they've got a forum for it. Because remember, Star Wars had three movies. They had a terrible Christmas special and two Ewoks movies and one, no, Droids was a cartoon. So maybe there were three Ewoks movies. For the longest time, that was it. And they created an entire fan base, community, all this stuff around it. At least Star Trek had the TV show originally, the TV show when it came back, well, I'm sorry, the movies when it came back. Then, for a little while in between, Next Generation, and then it exploded. So at least there was a large amount of content. Which, in the meantime, Star Wars started putting books out eventually. But this is a huge fan base for something that was based off of, what, the movies are, what, 2.5 hours each? Those TV movies are two. I mean, I'll say very, very heavily, under 50 hours of actual content.
Yeah, I and think
now,
it's...
But it's something like, you have to talk amongst yourselves, and then now, it's kind of like that nerd conversation we had where all of a sudden, these people are taking over our stuff.
Yeah. You know what it is with Star Wars? I think it's kind of like it was first as far as block. Because somebody, I remember listening to this podcast, and somebody made a good point saying, like, within 3 years, you had three of the most iconic movies that changed the movie industry of all time. Like, you had Jaws, that was like the first big summer blockbuster movie. Then you had Rocky. And then you had Star Wars, like, back to back to back. And, like, Star Wars was kind of first, and it's like, you hadn't seen anything like Star Wars before. So, if you're at a certain age, of course it's going to have an impact, but it just gets to the whole point where you just feel like you own it. Like, it says a lot where a lot of people involved just wash their hands of it. It's like, because you think of like Star Trek, they go to conventions and have fun all the time. Like, you know, William Shatner might make fun of it, but it's like he knows where he gets his money from. And like, you know, I make Star Trek, you might make fun of them like being like kind of geeks, but it's not like toxic or anything like that. People, you know, they don't mind diversity or anything like that. It's fun. Star Wars is just like angry. Like, if it ain't the way, not even, it is not this whole original, because it's not, if it's not the way I want it to be, like, I don't even give, they'll be like, I don't give a damn what George Lucas was going to do. I know what he should have done. If it ain't that way, he can go to hell. Like, imagine telling the creator something that he doesn't know. Like, even if you dislike his movies, like, imagine telling him, do it my way. Like, get out my face. Like, that'd be like me telling you how to, if you had kids, yeah, I know it's your son, raise him this way, because I want you to, because, like, I think he's cute.
Well,
I sent you that thing about Jar Jar. I was like, I remember he had an interview talking about he contemplated suicide, because that's how much hate he got from doing those movies. Like, Jake Lloyd stopped acting. Like, people have stopped acting, or people are like, you know what? I don't even want to see. Like, if you Jake Lloyd and someone goes, he might shoot you. Like, if you made a lightsaber voice around, like, he might have PT. Think about that. Like, all he was wanting to do, he was a little boy that did a movie. He did one movie, and he got so much flack as a little boy that it's like, you know what? I'm not doing movies no more. I don't ever want to see a Star Wars character. Like, when pop culture gets that bad, it's like you've taken a wrong turn somewhere.
You know what's funny is when that first movie came out, The Phantom Menace came out, we saw that like two or three times. And it was a matter of trying to convince ourselves it was good. We saw it in like a regular movie theater, we saw it at the drive-in, and we saw it in IMAX, actually. And the IMAX was pretty cool, because it was way more detailed than your standards. Well, I remember having this exact argument with somebody back then about how the kid ruined the movie. And I'm like, well, yeah, he did, but Jar Jar didn't help. But you know whose fault that is? It's not theirs. There's a guy that wrote it, that produced it, and then directed it. It's his fault, but somehow he takes some criticism, all right? But he still comes off relatively unscathed when it comes to criticism. You don't see these guys going to like Skywalker Ranch or Industrial Light Magic and getting out like picketing and getting in his face when he's out in public and all that. But I don't know how George Lucas pulled it off.
He went in his ranch and hit himself with money is what he did. Yeah. It's like, you know, and he probably got to the point like, you know what, I'm all right. I just, because people say, oh, you know, he could have sold his stuff for a lot more money. It's like, what did he get, $4 billion?
I think that's what it was.
I know. I'm sure he'll. I'm like, he's probably like, you know what, I'll live. Like, yeah, I could have got 40. I could have got 14, but it's like, he doesn't seem like the type where he need, like, some rich people, they just get money just to get money. Cause like, you get to a certain point, it's just a number. Like, you only can do so much with it. Then it's like this whole thing is like, I want to be Lex Luthor. Like, it's not, it has nothing to do with the money. It's like, I just want to have it to have it. But other than that, it's like, you at a certain age with a certain thing, it's like, I don't want to deal with this shit. I'm old. I want to be comfortable. Let that be somebody else's problem. Like, let me just enjoy, because I'm not even 40 yet. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just enjoying myself. I have enough money to handle my bills and live comfortably. And I'm just counting down the days my student loans are gone, and I can retire. And that's it. Like, I'm fine. I don't need to be, or don't you want to invest in stuff in like real estate? For what? To have more money to buy more crap? Like, no. Like, really, once, here, I'm going to tell people, here's a newsflash. Once you have enough money to pay off all your stuff and still have money over to be comfortable, the more money only means if you're trying to buy more stuff, or if you're trying to be like, I want to influence society. If you ain't trying to do that, it makes no damn difference in the world. Like, it's not really a big gap beyond that. Because, like, you just, okay, I'm buying a bigger TV, or I'm buying two fridges. It's like, okay, so like George Lucas, I don't think he's trying to, like, you know, buy a country. He's not buying an island like Nicolas Cage. So it's like, he just wanted, he did his thing. He just want to tap out. And like, you make a good point. And the same thing happens in wrestling. Like, we get mad at people for doing their jobs, and we should get mad at bosses. And the same thing happens is, I got to have a quick rant because you brought that up. It's related to sports.
That's fine.
I want to give a shout out to whoever the PR are for these owners that convince fans that players are the bad guys when it comes to salaries. Like, it's this whole, if you make too much, it's your, like, if you get a big contract, it's your fault because you're being selfish. You look out for the team. If you take a pay cut to, quote unquote, have enough money so your teammates get more money, then you're a fool because you're not taking what you should take. And it's like, it's only in sports where we had this attitude where they get on you if you make too much, and they get on you if you don't make enough. Nor the job, like, we made that fun. Like, we talked about the Avengers. Like, Robert Downey Jr. wasn't taking no pay cut so Mark Ruffalo can make more money. It's like, I'm getting mine. Mm-hmm. You know, you get yours, however you get yours. Like, a man said, like, you know, everybody ain't Keanu Reeves to come down. Like, a man, like, you know, we trying to, can you help us out? Like, you know, we try to make this whole equal thing. Like, you know, you and Scar are making all the money. And it's Disney doing that. Like, I'm really trying to save Disney money. Like, you better got my pay. If you want him to make more money, why don't you pay him more money? Get out my pocket.
I never would drudge. I used to. But it's something I think we talked about last night on Stunk Granny. The older you get, the more your perspective changes. And I used to be one of those guys that was like, he doesn't deserve to make that much, or just along those lines, you know, not too far into it. But now I see a guy, and he wants to take more money, or I'm sorry, if he wants to take less money in sports, and actually in any industry, I just look at him and go, that's your problem. Some guy's gonna offer you, and I guess it's a priority thing. If you want to go to the Detroit Pistons, they're going to pay you $50 million a year, and that's it? Well, cool. Go and get it. But if you want to stick on another team because you know you can win, because didn't, what's his name, Kevin Durant, he took less money to go to Golden State, didn't he? Or to stay there.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wants to keep winning. And that's fine. It's, like, it's none of your fucking business what people do with their money.
I'm glad you brought that up, because it's funny where this whole thing where they get on him because, like, he took the easy way out and he took less money. And it's like, if it's any complaint, it's like he took less money so the owners can pay less taxes. Because they tried to wrap this whole thing. It's like, oh, whoa, he took less money so his teammates get, like, no. The teammates could have got the money regardless. It is what it costs Golden State more. Like, Joe Lacob's a billionaire. What is it with fans wanting to have billionaires save money? Like, this, oh, such and such don't deserve $30 million, but the owner deserved it because he, like, why? Like, why? Like, what did he do that's magical? Like, he ain't dribbling. I'm watching Kevin Durant play. I don't give a. Imagine you feeling sympathy for somebody that make $5 billion that got a stadium that you paid for through your taxes. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, well, we rooting for him because he must have did something the right way. Screw this other guy that's actually bringing me the enjoyment of watching. I'm like, get out my face. Like, they got on Kobe Bryant because he made a lot of money his last year. Talking about, well, he didn't really deserve it. It's like, He made Los Angeles a whole lot of money. He made that Lakers franchise a lot of money. If he wants to get paid his last 2 years, get whatever dollar you get. Because guess what? Nobody's going to give it to you. Yeah. And I've never understood that. It's like, nobody will begrudge you anybody else doing that. Like, imagine your coworker got mad at you because, like, you know, they want to give you, like, a nest egg on the way out and just throw you my, like, nah, I want to do that because I want to help camaraderie with the workforce, and I don't want them to know I'm making more this amount of money. Like, at least we'll shoot you if you had that attitude. I'm going to turn this money down because I want to help out the work. I want to help out the office morale. Like, nah, I'll be all right. I want to get a boat. Yeah. No. Nah, I didn't like them anyway. It's basically what's going to come out, like, you know, we just work together. They've never been over my house. Like, we don't do that in any other field. We just say, get what you can get, because screw your bosses anyway. Like, the whole Stone Cold, Vince McMahon thing. But sports come, and we're rooting for them to win, and now all of a sudden, we all become accountants. We're trying to balance budgets and salary caps and stuff. Like, I don't care how much I'm like this. If you want to make less money, make less money. If you want to make more money, make more money. I don't care how much you make. I will always say, get what you can get, because these owners can afford it. If these owners couldn't afford it, they can have a sports team. And to wrap it up, you cannot have it both ways. You can't stress how important a championship is and make fun of people for not having titles, but then get mad at players when they make sacrifices to get titles. Mm-hmm. Like, which one is it? You can't have it. And they want to have it both ways. Like, you know, oh, well, he should win it the noble way. And I missed, you know, NBA when it was balanced. Like, you fucking idiot. The NBA has never been balanced. Two teams, the Lakers and Celtics, have won like half the titles in the history of the NBA. Like, it is, I've been watching basketball since like the early 80s. It's always been like a few great teams and a whole bunch of bums. It was like that in the 80s because basically the Celtics, Sixers, Lakers, and Pistons with, like, you know, Utah being good once or twice.
But never somehow winning it. Was,
yeah, like 90s, it was the Bulls for the most part with Houston being there. 2000, it was the Lakers and the Spurs with the Celtics being here and there. And 2010, it was basically Golden State, Spurs, and whatever team LeBron was on. It's always been like that. I don't know why people acting all funny, like, oh, Ghost, Kevin Durant did this. He ruined the basketball. That's why nobody wants the basketball. Meanwhile, basketball rating go up 10% every year, like the past 4 or 5 years. Like, I think what you're saying isn't matching reality, but you mad because you're not a Golden State fan.
I know this has nothing to do with what you're talking about, but the problem that I have with people criticizing Golden State is they got one guy. They got Durant in a trade. No. They signed him in the offseason, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Except Iguodala, wasn't everybody else a draft pick? Like, their main guys.
Yeah.
So, shut up. Built the team, and then they went, oh, I like what they're doing over there. Because it looks like your franchise, the business aspect, they've got it going correctly.
Yeah, and guess what? I'm like, do people realize how many things had to happen for Golden State to turn out the way they did? Like, one, they nailed all the draft picks they had, considering the fact that Minnesota had a chance to get Steph Curry twice, and they picked two other point guards ahead of him for whatever reason. Like, they could have got him if they wanted, they didn't. Steph Curry got a discount with his second contract because he had bad ankles. They just happened to have this big TV deal that, despite the salary cap, the same year that Kevin Durant happened to be a free agent. Like, it was kind of like a meteor hit three times. And keep in mind, it wasn't like Golden State was this crappy team before they got Kevin Durant. They won 73 games before that. The only reason they lost is because LeBron James turned into fucking Batman and, like, made the biggest comeback in, like, sports history. And they still barely beat Golden State. Like, Golden State was great before they got Kevin Durant. So, Kevin Durant going there didn't ruin everything. That's just how basketball goes. They were smart, and they got lucky. And that's how it happens all the time. Like, you know, somebody having to get drafted. Like, hey, Scottie Pippen doesn't get traded from Seattle, and they just keep him how they really drafted. Maybe Michael Jordan's look at it different ways. Like, sports is full of, like, you know, be at the right place at the right time, but we just tend to forget that because it's like you don't – not how you got there in the first place.
Yeah. Well, anyway, speaking of, like, boss for employee relationships and company-wide, this is a UFC WWE bit coming up. Brock Lesnar showed up in a UFC ring, pushed in a very WWE-esque segment. Daniel Cormier, the new UFC heavyweight champion, calls out Brock. Brock comes in there all smiles, pushes Daniel Cormier, gets pushed himself, then goes on an expletive-ridden tirade, and we've got our main event for sometime in January for the heavyweight title.
At MSG.
Well, that's in December, mm-hmm. and he doesn't qualify yet, I guess. There's still a weird time sure in with that USADA stuff.
Yeah. I'm sure when there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah. Yeah. And
so, I'll just say that. And Can we talk about the most important thing, like Brock Lesnar dressing like, you know, he owns a whole bunch of strip clubs that sell drugs in the VIP?
You know what? I was trying to figure that out. Perfect. Yes.
He has on a three-piece suit with no tie and a t-shirt underneath with, like, what are those boots? I didn't even realize the boots at first because I didn't even see them until I saw the whole picture. It's like, yeah, like, he's dressing like a sketchy villain in a Steven Seagal movie, just ranting, raving. Like, And you forget, people tend to forget that Brock Lesnar can cut a promo when he wants to, because he just used to Paul Heyman all the time, and it was just to the point, like, you know, I came and saw, like, this disaster of a heavyweight division, and it's kind of like, I didn't see the pre-show, I heard about that heavyweight fight in the pre-show, like, how horrible it was, so it's like, of course, it's like perfect timing, you have that there. Stipe Miocic was like this monster beating everybody. He gets knocked out in the first round by, you know, Super Urkel. So, of course, Brock Lesnar's going to talk this trash, because it's like, you know, circumstances happen for him to do that. And I know if you're a WWE fan, they got a certain way. It's like, oh, so he can't show up on Raw to bounce around with Paul Heyman talking, but he can show up. Yes, he can show up in UFC. And you know who doesn't have a problem with him showing up at UFC? A WWE. You know how I know? Because they talked about it on WWE.com. And I found out about it from WWE on Twitter. So, no, they do not have an issue with it. I mean, if you're a fan feeling a certain way, that's Brock Lesnar has a way of pissing off fans, no matter what sport he's in. Because UFC fans like, oh, this old fake plan nonsense. This was scripted from the jump street. Like, they swear UFC scripted. And it always comes out when Brock Lesnar shows up.
Well, that I think that's mostly the fight fans, because they've never embraced him anyways. Oh, okay, I thought you were blaming wrestling fans for that one.
No, I'm saying Brock Lesnar is pissing off all fans. Yeah. He pisses off UFC fans and WWE fans at the same time, because, you know, UFC fans, they hate the fact that a lot of their best fighters get their cues from, like, cutting wrestling. Like, Chael Sonnen made a lot of money pretending to be Roddy Piper. Conor McGregor's there trying to be Irish Ric Flair. Like, and they hate the fact, oh, they take a lot of cues from wrestling because it worked. But fans hate the fact that it's there, because, like, they just scream, like, wrestling equals fake. We want this real shit and yada yada. Like, it's all entertainment.
Yeah. Well, I always get confused on this. Who was that guy, like, 60s, 70s? He was the heavyweight champion of the world. He talked a lot of shit. Muhammad Ali. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. And then
guess who he got that from?
Yeah, he got that from, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's kind of like the man you talk about, one of the biggest sports icons of all time, copy a lot of his stick from wrestling, and you ate that up. But now all of a sudden it's like, oh, I want to be humble like hockey players. Like, no, you don't.
Hockey players are drunks. That's why. Did you see Ovechkin? I still don't think he's sober, which is awesome. Good for him.
I'm just hoping that he doesn't die. Beyond that, it's like, hey, no, he does not look sober one bit. Like, I don't want to find out, like, you know, he drowned because he was just trying to swim with the Stanley Cup and pretend it was a submarine because he was so damn drunk.
What's funny is they publicly go and do that, all right? So the hockey players get the notoriety for being, like, the party guys, this and this. And then, now, you may know this one. Was it the Cavs that spent, like, $150,000 the night of them winning the championship, because they all went to Vegas or something, and that story went nowhere. It was like, that seems really unreasonable. I mean, I understand how much LeBron's making and how much, you know, Gilbert's making off this too, but holy shit, a case of Natty Light or whatever they were drinking is $8.99, but I guess when you're going through seven of them per person, it may add up. So,
I mean, all of this goes to, like, perception, how we expect certain people to act. And it's the whole thing, like, UFC fans feel a certain way about Brock Lesnar because it reminds them, like, this wrestling guy comes in and he's successful. How dare he? And it's like, but they still pay money to see his fights. Like, it's not like they dislike him so much they don't see him, because it's a reason why Brock Lesnar keeps getting chances and why Dana White's like, I want you, because Brock Lesnar equals money. Like, people pay money to see Brock Lesnar. It's a reason, one of the reasons why WWE's got all that money from USA, from Fox, is because Brock Lesnar came back and made the money. Like, you think Vince is doing that because he's nice?
Yeah.
Vince McMahon ain't nice. Like, Brock Lesnar isn't in the Marines. This isn't a charity thing. Vince is about the dough. And Brock Lesnar makes him money. Like, the only reason this is an issue because Mr. Boy Scout Hall manager Roman Reigns keeps whining about it, and I'm glad Bobby Lashley called him out, saying like, you know, I'm sick of Roman Reigns pretending like he's the sheriff of the locker room. Like, I let, like, cause yes, I am too. But it's like, I love the whole thing, the promo at UFC. I don't even know if Brock has a chance to win. Of course, Cormier is favored because Cormier, but Cormier is also old himself, and Brock's going to definitely have a size advantage.
See you later.
Like, Brock just says, all you got to do is just get, you know, get lucky, and that would be something. Like, Brock Lesnar shows up on Raw with both titles.
And we talked about that a little bit last night. I think we talked about that on 146 as well. I can definitely see that. Here's my fake wrestler that just beat your real heavyweight champion. So
my client.
Yeah.
Like, my client, Brock Lesnar, went into the octagon and yada, 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 and he's the reigning undisputed champion of the universe. Like, you could imagine the trash Paul Heyman would talk when that happened, and then they play Roman Reigns music. Like, yeah, you won at UFC, but I was at this house show because I love the fans.
I was missing my cheers family. Like,
fuck off. Yeah, like, just, yeah, we talked about it off the show. We didn't talk on there. Because we talk about being mad at the wrong people. I'm not mad at Roman Reigns. I'm mad at Vince McMahon for making Roman Reigns just gets on my nerves. Like, I don't want to be one of those fans that's like, you know, Roman Reigns come on and I just start booing in front of my face. But when Roman Reigns comes out, if it's not even his matches are fine. Mm-hmm. It's when he comes out and talk, it's like, no, I don't want to hear none of this garbage. Because it's like, oh, you was out there having fun with a hobby, and I was doing my job. I was out going from town to town. I took the trash out at catering. I let the divas eat first. I swept the floor, and I went to this small town with the Chattanooga while you was there pretending to be a mixed martial arts fight. I know you was like 15-3, but you was a failure, even though Michael Cole talked about how great you were. I love the fans. That's why I'm here. And that's Roman Reigns talking that mess. Like, mister, I've been in the main event of WrestleMania for like, what, 4 years in a row, and I keep on...
Yeah.
I'm talking about, you know, I'm the corporate guy. Talking about Brock Lesnar's the corporate guy and Bobby Lashley's the chosen one. It's like, shut up. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear that. Like, if I'm an 8-year-old kid, I have no idea what you're talking about. If I'm in my 30s and I'm like, quote unquote, smart in the business, I think you're patronizing me and you're trying to make, and you talking to me like I'm an idiot. Because, like, you're Roman Reigns. We know who you are. We've seen your career. You, of all people, cannot complain about this whole preferential treatment. And more importantly, we went through this with John Cena and The Rock.
Yep.
And we made fun of John Cena for doing that. And it says a lot. And it's funny where John Cena made fun of The Rock doing that. John Cena apologized. Then Roman Reigns made fun of John Cena for basically doing what The Rock did. And now Roman Reigns is making fun of anybody that dares to make money outside of WWE.
And
you know, it goes this whole thing is like, you know, what happened to work is smarter, not harder? Why would I get somebody that's making a lot? Because trust me, if I can make I enjoy my job, but if I made my same salary and worked half the days, you think I'm going to say no? I don't like my coworkers that much.
It's got nothing to do with even liking your coworkers. It's got everything to do with, yeah, wait, like, I get paid the same and I don't have to be here. Yeah, peace out. Like, no, I always hated that expression, do something you love and it never feels like work. Well, you know what I love doing? Not working. And you know what doesn't happen when you don't work? You don't get paid. I might have had one too many don'ts in there, but you get the gist anyways. If they came to me right now, like, hey, we want you to work 3 days a week and same 8 hours, and we're going to pay you the same, that chair would be spinning. I wouldn't even be. I would have forgotten to sign the new deal. Like, yeah, I'm out of here, and I'm not going to listen to Bob sitting behind me going, "Well, I'm going to be here 5 days a week." And wait, that's not my problem, Bob. See you later. I got a loyalty to me and my family. That's it. And I know that sounds really selfish. Maybe it is, but if somebody else got that, I wouldn't be happy. But I ain't going to be mad at them.
Yeah, I'll try to get it for myself.
Yeah, I'm gonna try and get you fired, and then take that shit from you. Yes.
That's exactly what I'm going for. Like, I want to see what they're doing so I can get it too. And it's kind of like, that's one of the reasons why that CM Punk stuff rubbed me the wrong way. Because he did the same exact thing. He was on that whole, Dwayne says he loves stuff, but he's showing up part-time and yada, yada, yada. He don't really love the business. He's taking a spot based on his name. I'm like, you fool. The Rock's going to come back and make you a whole bunch of money. Because that's exactly what happened. Like, he came back and he made CM Punk a whole bunch of money wrestling CM Punk, you know, before WrestleMania. And all the fans are like, oh, Rock, he didn't earn it. He should have worked him way up. Like, well, he got beat. R-Truth to qualify for a title match. It's the goddamn Rock. He don't got to do nothing.
Yeah.
But it's funny, though, you didn't hear this whole you got to earn stuff when CM Punk basically used his name to get two UFC fights he had no business getting.
You know what's funny is he did say he sees the issue that people have. So I'll give him credit for that. He did at least acknowledge that, I can see that. But he never went back was like, you know what, I was wrong. That's the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I know people feel the way they feel, but, you know, I'm still doing it. If I do all over again, I would. And I don't blame him for doing it, but you can't have it both ways. You can't get on somebody for using their name to get something and do the exact same. At least The Rock was qualified to be in a wrestling match.
Well, I mean, what's The Rock
like,
ever
we ain't
done?
Talking.
You know?
Yeah, it's like, it's not like it was kind of like, you know, Vin Diesel beat him for the title at Royal Rumble. something like that. Then you could be mad. It's like, yeah, I know I'm making money, but this is kind of insulting. But it's like, no, it's The Rock. Yeah, he can come. Like, if The Rock want to come back and get the title and y'all make a bunch of money, like, he has the right to do that. I saw Batista bust his ass to get one mixed martial arts fight. It wasn't in UFC or Bellator. It was like some low-ranked one, but he did it because he wanted to do it and prove he can do it. Bobby Lashley fought, you know, he knew how good he was and he knew how good he wasn't, and he stayed in his lane and he did that too. If CM Punk was really passionate, because people made a good point, if you're so passionate about it, why don't you work your way up? It's like, no, you wanted to start off at UFC first. It ain't nothing about, oh, he fulfilled his dream. What dream? I'm famous enough to somebody give me a hookup? I mean, I guess, but they ain't like, that's not hard work. That's kind of like, you know, I got a hookup. Glad you got the hookup, but that ain't like, somebody made a joke saying, I've never seen somebody that had more time to prepare, a better chance to prepare, and do so horribly at their job. Because he got to train for 3 years, and he didn't have to do nothing else. He was already rich. He didn't have any other jobs, and that's what came out. Think about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, like, think about that. Think about all the stuff other fighters got to do. Like, they got to balance money and balance family. Some people had to have part-time jobs. Like, all you got to – imagine what you could do if you had a hobby and you had basically enough funds and unlimited time to go toward that hobby, and you got, like, 3 years. You think you'd be successful at it?
Yeah. Well, it depends on your field.
Yeah. Imagine if, like, you know what? If you wanted to say, I just want to do CrossFit, and you didn't have any other responsibilities, you were sponsored, so you got all the supplements you wanted, you had all the gym time you wanted, and all you got to do was just work out. And you didn't have to train anybody, you wasn't a trainer, you could just focus on working out. How good do you think you'd be in CrossFit? Yeah. How much you think you'd be able to deadlift? If you got the deadlift as much as you want, and you got to eat the best foods in the world and the best supplements for 3 damn years.
Yeah, we'll talk about that off the air. I've actually, yeah.
I'm saying you could probably lift a damn truck if you want it. After that, I don't have sympathy for that. Like, kudos to CM Punk for living his dream and congratulations to get that money, because if Dana White want to be dumb enough to give it to him, I ain't got something for Dana White either, but don't hit me over the head. Don't hit me over the head like this CM Punk's living his dream for everybody. Like, no, he's not. He got a hookup. That's all he got. Mm-hmm. Kudos to get the hookup, but what I'm supposed to do, make him a cake?
Well, he need it now. So, yeah, I saw that fight and I was like, this is terrible. And I guess the excuses could be built in. And by him, if he did, I don't know. Has he even come? Has he been Has he resurfaced? That's the word I was looking for. Since that fight?
Not really.
Huh. Well, you know what? If I mean, that kind of sucks if that's it, because that's a harsh way to go. But on this, at the same time, good for him. You know? I mean, because he did get hurt during training camp, then he had all that legal stuff going on, which I understand is, like, it's not a physical thing, but that is a time-consuming and emotional thing. So, I'm not making excuses, but it's like, it is there, but still,
it would, you know, it wouldn't have mattered anyway.
No, it wouldn't have mattered.
Like we all saw Rocky III,
yeah.
and we saw that's basically what happened. Like Rocky III without having the skill of Rocky. It's like, yeah, he was distracted too, knowing he had no business getting in the ring with Clubber Lang, but he did anyway because reasons. It's like CM Punk knew that would have been a distraction and like could have canceled the fight, postponed the fight. Now I'm gonna do it anyway because whatever. So. Every choices have consequences. If you can't deal with the consequences, don't make that choice. And it just goes that, and it's funny how it is a roundabout way. Basically, what I'm saying is like, I have no problem with Brock Lesnar getting money for not working, because WWE they didn't have to sign him.
Nope, re-sign him.
Yeah, they had to re-sign him. It's like somebody give you money, like I take anybody's money if they give it away. As the old saying goes. And everybody, oh, you should have did that. You should have thought about Zack Ryder. Why?
Why, so he can blow his knee out again or whatever.
Yeah, things like happen, he's not Kurt. He's not Kurt Flood. And it's like, wrestlers don't stick together. This whole, I'm a fight for the rights so they get a union. It's like, no. That ship sailed. Jesse Ventura tried it. Hulk Hogan snitched. And nobody tried since then. It's kind of like, wrestlers should definitely make more than they should. But until they want to do that together, putting that on one person is kind of stupid. And they doing the same thing with Ronda Rousey. Like, everybody likes her, except for, like, the hardcore fans. Because, like, she got to pay her dues, and she got to do this. Why?
She looks pretty good without paying dues.
Yeah, it's like, so. People say that. The same people who say they have no problem with unpaid internship. Like, well, that's what you got to do to work. No, the hell ain't. McDonald's pays you when you first start off. And you just flipping a damn burger. They don't have you do that for free. Imagine doing something for free. Somebody was like, I'm going to do a quick story about that. Because that came up on Twitter. People talking about, like, the importance of unpaid internship. Like, well, you got, if you're serious about your craft, you're going to do that. My fourth year of pharmacy school was basically rotations. And basically rotations are just internships. And not only did I not get paid, I had to pay tuition. So I had to pay, what was it, 25 grand, however much it was that year. I had to pay for the right to work and not get paid. And I worked next to people, like one place I was doing a job with somebody before me, and he was working for like a temp agency, and he was making $60 an hour. I was doing his exact same job, and I wasn't getting a dime. So what am I learning from there? Oh, well, you're getting experience. The experience is nice. You know what else is nice? Money. Getting paid for something. You know who else got experience and they didn't get a check? Slaves. You think, they got the experience to be able to pick cotton, boy, and they got to eat. Well, whoop-de-damn-do. Why don't you do it for free? I never heard a CEO doing an unpaid internship, like, you know, to run stuff. Hell no. That's just dumb. But those are the same type of people who say, well, you got to do that so you can pay your dues and everything. And it's a reason, because it's related to stuff we do. You know why certain fields look the way they do? Because it's this whole hookup thing. People say, well, how come directors all look like a certain way? It's like, because they tend to hire people that look like them, went through the same stuff. Most people who can afford to do unpaid internship, money's not an issue. You know who money issue for most people? Poor people, women, and minorities. They can't afford to do unpaid internships, so they don't get the chance to get that hookup, which is why a lot of fields look a certain way. So miss me on that whole pay your dues and you got to work your way from the bottom. Nah. If I can work my way at the top, I'm working my way at the top. You go ahead and work at the bottom. Be humble if you want. I like stuff.
All right, and we'll wrap up on that, but real fast, I didn't have a profession in college that we had internships. So that was never, it was never a problem. I believe Kevin did. If I remember that right, he may have. But I don't know if he did unpaid or not. So I'll take him out of this, but I know, like, just figuring people who did. My friend Cindy, she was in photography, so she was a photographer's assistant doing his job. he would take some of the photos. She would run the lab, so she'd be developing. She'd be doing this. This is back when we had film, everybody, and well, you can look it up. Well, it got to the point with her that she told him, like, look, I can't keep doing this for free. And he finally started paying her. Now, she was supposed to have, it was supposed to be unpaid, whatever else, so he just did it under the table. And I shouldn't have used her real name, but it's too late. And, I mean, it's 20 years ago. But the point of it was, this guy actually recognized that she was going through something. Because I think he had actually had done the same thing. But I had never heard of essentially having a job and not getting paid for it. Like, in a very serious way. Like all kidding aside, I'd never heard of that before, and I was dumbfounded. So I'm like, all right, so let me get this straight. You're going... what? Like, you're going and helping them do their stuff, and you get nothing for it. We get class credit. I go, that doesn't seem worth it. Like, there's got to be a better way for this.
And at least I got class credit. Imagine if people do that. That's the career. Like, you know, you're going to do this, and you get to learn the ins and outs. You don't make any money, though, but you get to learn how stuff goes. And we all making money. And he said, yeah, you know, our parent company is Time Warner. It's like, are y'all that short on? Y'all can't pay me? It's like, I can see if it's like a mom and pop store, and it's like, you know, we can't pay you that much. But even then, they'll slip you like some, you know, a loaf of bread and like a sandwich. Mm-hmm. These billion-dollar companies talking about, oh, well, you know, the experience is nice. Well, what about the money? I mean, but what about the experience? I'm like, yeah, but if I'm good enough to, my whole thing like this, if I'm good enough to work here for free, why am I not good enough to get paid to do the job? I'm still doing the same job. And they always try to say, oh, but you get your foot in the door. It's like, yeah, how about I can afford shoes to have on my foot when I put it in the door? Like, I got, people got bills. It's amazing. Like, that doesn't compute to somebody. It's like, you know, it's this thing called rent and gas and food. Like, what I'm supposed to do, so I'm supposed to have another part-time job in the hours. I'm not doing this free job to take care of myself to focus on this free job so hopefully I get paid and that's what will be cool. Like, no, that's a sucker bet. Anybody that's listening to this whole thing, if somebody offer you an unpaid internship, you're like, well, if I'm good enough to do this job, why can't I get paid for it? And they tell you some nonsense, do a different job. That's a scam.
Yeah.
And if they say, well, that's how I did out, but you say, well, you were a fool, and I ain't one.
On that note, gang, so we're gonna wrap it up. We actually got through everything, except one. No big deal. So thanks for listening. I don't know when we're gonna release this. We gotta talk about this after. So all social media, Stunt Granny. Look for us on platforms of Stunt Granny where we watch stuff. I was actually on Stunt Granny Audio last night. Which doesn't make sense to say that because I just said we don't know when we're going to do this. I was on Stunt Granny Audio recently, so you can check me out on there. We talked G1, a bunch of other stuff. Shahid is probably going to be on next week. I don't know if Kevin hit you up yet. And okay. Well, maybe that was supposed to be a surprise. Well, or I just ruined the surprise. Oh, well, whatever. So, anyways, I'm out. I'll let Shahid take us out of here.
For Jeremy Mays, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and in the immortal words of that wise scholar known as the Joker, if you're good at something, never do it for free. We are out.